For those of a nervous disposition, will you just sort of hold your breath for 4 minutes? I want to play a song. It's possibly not a particularly Christian song, what you might think you hear in the church, but I want to make a point about it. So we're just going to listen to a particular song that's been quite of the vogue of today. So me prop. That song is, as a pop song, doesn't really matter what we think. I think it's okay. As a pop song, it's got a certain grittiness about it, a certain beat. It's got a good rhythm, maybe, but the words are all wrong, aren't they? The words for us as a church are all wrong. But that's become an anthem, I think, in the world. I'm only human, after all. That was number one in 33 countries around the world. And I just feel as though there's a real sense of the spirit of the world today in that song. And if we're not careful as the church, we can take that on board. Is that too loud? Does that sound echoey? Sorry. If I put it down a bit. Because it's just not true, is it? For us as the body of Christ, it's not true. If you know Jesus today, that's just song is all wrong. Now, I've been singing it for a couple of weeks because it's been on my heart to preach this sermon. And it's a real good tagline for me. It's a real good antithesis, if that's the word, or I don't know why I'm holding this now. it's a real good hook, because it's pop songs. That's why they sell, don't they? They have a hook. And I've been singing it. But there's been something at the back of my neck, something in my heart, something in my spirit that's saying, no, that's not true. And I still sing it, and I still almost enjoy singing the tune of it, the rhythm of it, the sort of, I just like the tune, to be honest with you. But the words are wrong. Because if we know Jesus, if we've got that same spirit on the inside, that's not our anthem. And Mike has brought to us lately this word about confidence. And he said something a couple of weeks ago when he preached about we as the church should have a bit of a swagger. And I heard the whole sermon, and I remember a lot of it, and I've listened to the podcast. But that sort of throwaway comment, because I don't think that was in his notes, we as the church, as the body of Christ, should have a swagger, really stuck. It became a little bit of one of those earworms, are they called, and Because I hate arrogance. I hate pride. I really, that's a luxury that we just cannot afford. I fear pride, you know, because I can be proud, and God resists the proud. And if pride or arrogance were a garment in your wardrobe, rip it up, shred it up, use it as rags, because it's not good. But one garment that we should have in our wardrobe is humility. But sometimes we as church get mixed up with what humility is, and we think it's a bit of a doormat, don't we? A bit of a, you know, Uriah Heep, never so humble servant, sir. You know, because Jesus did this, and Jesus was meek and mild. And so we need to get the right balance of not being arrogant or proud, but we're not only human, after all. I'm not going to preach, maybe you could put the blame on me, because that wouldn't be particularly helpful. but my verse today, which I'll sort of get to at the end as well, is found in Philemon. You can follow me if you want in your tablets or word, or I'll just read. I've brought my Guns of Navarone Bible today. And this is the authorized version, which I got saved under, although I like to use the Amplified now. It's Philemon 6, and it says this, excuse me. Paul says this: I pray that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hey, I think that's quite a scripture. He prays that your faith, who wants their faith to become effectual? come on, people. You know, Paul prays this dynamic verse. He prayed in the Holy Ghost with all the authority of heaven behind him. I pray that the communication of your faith might become effectual. How? By you acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. As I say a lot, that'll preach. And today, I hope it does. This is a... Does everybody know what this is? It's a selfie stick. Now, I'm going to share a little bit of my heart. I hate these with a passion. And somebody bought this for... It's still got its label on. It has been used in anger once. I'm on Facebook and I've got 6 friends. Because I just don't do Facebook. And every now and again I'll go on to see how Brian Miller's doing in Australia and stuff like that. But I don't do social media. And sometimes on Facebook when you're on it says, people you might know. And sometimes it's a bit voyeuristic, isn't it? Or stalkiness about it. And so I watch, it goes across the screen like that, people you might know. And there's a lot of posing and pouting going on, isn't there? Serious. And you know, and the women are just as bad. There's just such a lot of posing and panting and people assuming the Vogue pose. And you know what this is called in France? A selfie in France is called an ego portrait, which I think is really interesting. Isn't it? That'll preach. And so I brought this along because I'm going to be using it, not in anger, but just as a... There's nothing in it. It's disarmed at the minute. But it's important that we see ourselves correctly. You know, there's a guy in Greek mythology called Narcissus. And, you know, I'm not clever at all, and I did a bit of research. And Narcissus actually fell in love with his own reflection. And because of it, there's 2 trains of thought, but he basically fell in love with his own reflection and lost the will to live. And I just think that's really powerful in today's society where there's a lot of depression, there's a lot of anxiety, suicide is on the increase, because to some degree, people have fell in love with their own wrong reflection. And we're out on the streets on a Saturday and we're out wherever we are, work and community and house and home and work and college and wherever we are. You know, and it really behoves us to have a right identity, doesn't it? It behoves us to do the world justice so that we can be healthy, so that we can minister health. Okay, sorry. If you want to turn with me, John chapter 13. We finished the series. We had a series, for those who've travelled from Wales, we had a series we've just sort of finished recently based on 1 Corinthians, I believe it was 11, where Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And we've sort of struggled through it in some senses because it's a real difficult verse because it's a high calling, isn't it, to imitate Christ? And Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I'd already done this sermon, and nobody told me that we'd finished last week, so... So this is an addendum. But we need to imitate Christ. And you know what? Jesus had a great self-image. He did. Jesus knew who he was. And out of him knowing who he was able to be and do what he did. And so it's important for us to imitate Christ and to imitate Paul as Paul imitated Christ. And Jesus had a great self-image. And John 13, 3-5 says this, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and that he went to God, He riseth up from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. I think that's fabulous. I think that's Jesus just doing a bit of... Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Jesus knowing that he came from God. Imagine just being aware of the Father's love 24/7 in a pure way like Jesus did. Imagine that. Imagine what does that look like? Sounds good to me. It sounds really a place where I can feel something under my feet. I can feel a security now. It doesn't matter what the Pharisees say. It doesn't matter what all of Israel say. It doesn't matter what Pontius Pilate says. It doesn't matter what anyone else says, because he knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. You know, we don't hear that preached these days, do we? We know these are the last days. We know Jesus is coming back. But that's what we should be like, shouldn't we? We came from God. If you know Jesus this morning, you came from God. We're made and created in his image. It's a bit cliched, but it's so true. Three nails didn't keep his body to the cross, did they? Nothing. No nails could keep him to the cross, could they? Nothing. You could have stapled his arms with and strapped them tight. His love and his somehow prophetic vision of you nailed him to the cross and kept him to the cross. And out of that place of security, knowing that the Father had given him all things, that he came from God and went to God, Jesus rises from supper and takes the towel and kneels down. I think that's so powerful. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Our security, when we're that secure, and every day when we get up tomorrow morning, we see this beaming face of Dad, of Abba God, of our Father, we can take our wallets, we can take our time, we can take the towel, whatever we're wrapped in, we can take our energies, we can take our future, our past, our present, wrap it round our feet and kneel and minister to a broken world. Out of that place of solid, secure, nothing can move. That's a wonderful place to be, isn't it? That's Psalm 91. That's the secret place. That's where we become like Eliot Ness, untouchables. That place, if we could stay there 24/7, the arrows will still come, the fiery darts will still come, but that's the place to be, secure in knowing where I came from and where I'm going. I'm not suicidal, I'm not morbid, I'm not dark in any way, but as Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we should encourage ourselves with that some days, not, oh God, get me out of here now. He knew his origin, he knew his worth, he knew his purpose, and he knew his destination. Do you? Just saying. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Good, aren't we? Thank you. Paul imitated Christ. And Paul also had a great self-image. See how many selfies I can take from Romans 8. I'm not going to read it all. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let me just read some of the selfies in Romans 8. No condemnation. Free from sin and death. Adopted sons and daughters. Heirs with Christ. Called. Foreknown. Predestined. Justified. Glorified. God's elect. Inseparable from his love. More than conquerors. There's 12 selfies I've just taken from Romans 8. Just for a small chapter. I've just taken no condemnation. Get in. Get in. You can pose and pout to that if you want. There's no condemnation. I'm not having it. Do you suffer condemnation every now and again? Do you listen to the accuser of the brethren now and again? Well, listen, you should carry one of these around, maybe as a bit of a reminder. It's not a Jedi stick. But maybe you could have it on your side and just get it out at the enemy. Joint heir with Christ. More than a conqueror. Inseparable from his love. I think I'm going to take this to work tomorrow. It's powerful, isn't it? This is powerful than any... what do they call lightsabers? Made myself laugh. I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. It's anathema, isn't it? You know, when you read some of these things, the idea for us to say I'm only human is anathema, isn't it? It's absolutely, incredibly, 100% wrong. It's wrong doctrinally. It's wrong in every way. But sometimes it's not wrong experientially. And that's where God wants us to be different. Experientially, not only human. Tomorrow, wherever you go, whether it's Skem or Parbold or Orton or Ormskirk or Wales, or we're not only human. We've got the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Amen. Thank you. Paul knew his origins. He knew his worth. He knew his purpose. He knew his destination. Paul hadn't fallen in love with his own reflection and lost the will to live. Do you know what? I love Jesus to bits. I just love Jesus. I'm continually besotted in Jesus. And when we look into his face and he shares his glory with us, we can't even say we're half human, really, can we? We're so beloved, so secure in that love, so accepted in the beloved, so eternally saved, so eternally forgiven, so thoroughly equipped. We lack nothing. And that's from that place. We can do street pastors. We can do healing on the streets. We can do whatever we do, wherever we are, wherever, whenever we are. From that place of security, knowing that. That's a revolution. That's really a revival and a revolution. Okay, let's get to the... It's going to be a short one, this, isn't it? Let's get to Philemon again. Philemon 6 again. It says that I pray that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That Greek word, I'm going to teach you some Greek today. I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. One owns a chippy and one owns a... The old ones are the best, aren't they? I'm just checking you're still alive. That word acknowledge is a word epignosis. I want that to hook into you today. I want that word, epignosis, to be an earworm. I want it to be barbed for you so that you never forget it. Epic, you might have heard this sermon before, I don't know, but that word to acknowledge is epignosis. You know, GPs, I work in the NHS, and GPs will study and practice for at least 7 years. They have, since medicine began, I don't know how long that is, shall we say 1,000 years? Hundreds of years. They have experiences that are written down. They have people who've gone before and made mistakes and proved things and discovered things. And today we can scan anything, any way, every way. So they have things available to them. They have the training. They have, you can put things in your nose or down your throat or other places. They can put you in machines that make loud noises. They can show every part of you. And all of that is available to them so that they can give you a diagnosis. And from then, from all the experience that they have, that knowledge, they can give you a prognosis. So you know where I'm going, don't you? Epignosis basically means correct and precise knowledge. Correct and precise knowledge. I pray that the communication of your faith will become effectual by correct and precise knowledge. By the acknowledgement, by the precise and correct knowledge of every good thing that is in you. Do you have that correct and precise knowledge this morning? You can say amen or oh me. Sometimes I'm saying oh me. We don't spend time with God all week like we should. Guilty as, no, I'm not only human. We get drawn, we get deflected, we get put off. Circumstances, storms, salmon, I don't know what your life's like, but all the fish seem to be swimming that way until I come here on a Sunday. Is it like that for you? I'm like this, deflecting false doctrine, opinions, fake news, stuff that I can only say stuff, I can't put another word on it, but you know the words. Just stuff coming this way all of the time. The world's going to go this way. The world's going to go that way. Politics and all kinds of stuff coming this way. It behoves us to have correct and precise knowledge so that our faith will become effectual. And when we get that precise and correct knowledge, we need to put it in our lips. We need to acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. Do you have that correct and precise knowledge? When you consider the way the world operates to give a diagnosis, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you got God's CT scan, his MRI scan? Do you get filled every day? Do you read your word every day? Are you going after that knowledge? Do you want to know what good things are on the inside of you? Seriously, I think this is a brilliant church. I'm not having a go at this church at all. And if it was, it would be me. But I just really do feel God wants to say, listen, there's more. There's much, 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 much more. Because we're not only human. Jesus was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Paul was a Son of Man and a Son of God. Jimmy Brown's a Son of Man and a Son of God. I'm in my spirit, wall to wall, Holy Ghost. I need to find out that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has got prepared for those who love him. But they are revealed by his Spirit. If we will only take the time, if we will only address our circumstances and situations in the Spirit, if we will only stop being only human. Because we are the answer to the world's problems. You know what I'm saying there. I know I'm not the answer. I'm without Christ, I am only human after all. But in God, in Christ, filled with that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, knowing where I've come from and who sent me, I'm a world changer. Is that arrogance? Is that a bit narcissistic? Not at all. It's just me taking a right selfie. It's not an ego portrait, really. What I'm saying is, Jesus in me. Because when God looks at me, he doesn't really see me. He sees me hid in Christ. It's Colossians, it says, I'm hid in Christ. And all the glory goes to Jesus, doesn't it? But God wants us to know so that we can acknowledge. God wants us to think differently so we can acknowledge. When the storms rise, we don't go into human mode. When the storms rise, we don't go into chicken mode and head for the coop. See, when an eagle sees a storm, he gets excited. When an eagle sees a storm, he says, that's going to take me high. What kind of mentality is that? Sometimes I see the storm and go, oh, I'm off. I'm into the coop. And just scratching around with the bare minimum. But when I've got that same Spirit mentality, I can look at the storm and say, bring it on, Buster. Because I'm going to go higher. Because my God is in me and for me and wants to be through me. And so I'm going to acknowledge. Oh, yeah. I want to acknowledge that good thing for that particular moment, that particular storm, every day. And that's the excitement, isn't it? It's not a formula, is it? We can't look at that storm and go, I'm going to do this. And then that storm, well, that worked with that storm. It doesn't work like that, does it? That's exciting, isn't it? isn't that amazing? That it's. I find that scary, I'll be honest with you. I wish I did it once, got it right, and I could just do it the same. Because that would make it quite singular, and I don't multitask very well. That would make it easier. 2 and 2 and 2 equals 6. But it's not like that in the Holy Ghost, is it? It's not that. It's like that in religion. But we're not about religion, aren't we? Because that's only human after all. We've got this relationship with an amazing God who woos us every day. Are you coming? Are you going this way? I know you want to go that way because that's the easy way, but this is the better way. This is the way of victory. This is the way of security. If I'm over there, that's the safest place to be. Yeah? Lots of hmms. So I wish Dave was here. Happy holiday, Dave. Are you with me? Do you know what I'm saying? To get up and be in the Spirit every day takes effort. It does not happen by osmosis. You might do it different ways by putting praise tapes on, getting into your word, just worshiping, speaking in tongues, dancing, skipping, hanging from the rafters, sitting quietly, the God channel, whatever does it for you. But listen, it behoves me to get up and flex my muscles and have some acknowledgement of the good things that are in me right now. For every situation. I can't remember where it says. It says, he is beautiful for every situation. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole world. It's in the Psalms. Beautiful for situation. Jesus. We sing here, didn't we sing, he's lovely, how lovely he was. And that's a great song. But he is beautiful for your situation today. He is precise in his beauty for where you're at today, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, psychological, the whole local, whatever, wherever you are, he is beautiful for you today. But you might be looking in the wrong mirror today, and you might be thinking the wrong thing today. But when we face him, his beauty gives us peace, doesn't it? He gives us that shalom, peace that passes all understanding. He gives us a word. Do you know, I think I might have come upon something about this lightsaber. I did not prepare that, but I just think there's something in it. So what's the word for my situation today, God? Seriously. So that I can attack that situation in a completely different, powerful, victorious way. Not a rabbit's foot way. Not my lucky stars day. Not me 9.5 big hobnailed boots way. But a way where I'm facing him and his beauty for my situation, where he's relationally speaking to me, and then I can put that word into operation. So I can cut through the malaise, cut through the mazes of life, cut through the stuff, and make a way where there is no way. I'm going to finish now. Hallelujah. And that epignosis, that precise and correct knowledge, it trumps all other knowledge. It trumps all other knowledge. I'll say that again. It trumps all other knowledge. When we get that revelation knowledge, that correct and precise knowledge, that overrides all other. The doctor might give you a diagnosis, and you can go to the word and get an epignosis. Just saying. When your boss says certain things to you and gives you a prognosis, when your neighbor gives you a prognosis, we can go to God and go to the word and go to the body and get an epignosis. And that precise and correct knowledge trumps the other stuff, because it's not about what's true, it's about the truth. Jesus is the truth that overrides what's true. You can't deny your circumstance or situation, can you? But when we get our minds and our spirits filled with the truth, and then acknowledge that truth by prayer, by acknowledging our spirit, by even stamping our feet and pointing our finger, not necessarily at the people, and saying, "Thus says the Lord God Almighty." And then you minister that word, that correct and precise knowledge that you have. You minister that to that situation. Is that all right? Does that make sense? Am I speaking lies? No. See, I just shared it briefly last week about Philippians 3:8. In the Amplified, it says that knowing Jesus gives us a supreme advantage. If you're in Christ today, you have the advantage. Some of you don't really agree, maybe, but you do. Have a look at the Amplified, Philippians 3:8. It says that knowing Jesus gives you the supreme advantage. Wherever and whenever we are, we have the advantage. And God wants that advantage to be worked in and worked out, to be acknowledged. I'm going to stop. Do you know him? Do you know every good thing that is in you in Christ? Because that's where your faith and my faith is going to become effectual. By knowing and acknowledging. That's what praise and worship's all about. You know, God's not an insecure ego in the sky. I feel bad today. I wish my church would encourage me. Sure. Praise and worship's really for us. Worship's just for us. It's not for him. He doesn't need his shoulders massaging. You all right, God, today? I know you've had it hard because we've been praying a lot. We had a prayer week this week. You know, and people had cancer and the lights dimmed in heaven. Hello. Worship's about us acknowledging the good things that he's done. And when we acknowledge him and the goodness that he is and the good things that he's done, it comes on the inside of us, doesn't it? The word then tabernacles and becomes flesh. And that in that praise and worship, that's part of the acknowledging of every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to stop there. Ephesians 1, Paul wrote a prayer that's relevant 2,000 years in the future. And it'll be, I don't think Jesus is going to wait 2,000 years, to be honest with you. But anyway, if he does, if he tarries, it will still be relevant in 2,000 years. He said, I pray that your eyes will be enlightened, that your hearts will be flooded with light, that you might know. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish through lack of knowledge. People of God, seek this goodness of God. Seek the good things that are in you. And when you know them, when you're reading your word, don't just read it. I hope it's not just a calendar you tick off a little favorite verse. Please get to know the good things that are in you so that we can have that swagger, so that we can be victorious and be the church that he wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will do what you do. Lord, we acknowledge the work that you do. You hover and brood and bring about form out of chaos, and you bring light where there's darkness. Holy Spirit, you are the executor of that last will and testament. Holy Spirit, you reveal to us Jesus and him high and lifted up and glorified. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that this day, right now, this week, these days, Lord God, those listening to my voice, Lord, you would just open our hearts and fill our hearts with that light from heaven. Lord, give us godly understanding. Lord, Job heard of you with the hearing of the ear, and then you confronted him, and then he saw with the seeing of the eye, and his life changed. I pray, Lord God, that you just break down religion in us and bring us into true relationship, Lord God. Open our eyes, Lord God, that we might see like we've never seen you before, Lord God. I pray that for me. I'm desperate and jealous and hungry and ravenous for that, Lord God. I pray that for my brothers and sisters, that you will open the eyes of our understanding, that we might see you high and lifted up, reigning in glory, that we might then, Lord, know how you reign in us, that we then might reign in life by and through that revelation and that indwelling, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.